you know, I think after going through the tape, I really got to give a lot of credit to, you know, our guys up on the offensive line. I thought they did a real good job yesterday. And not that the Texans didn't have a few plays there where they gave us problems. They gave everybody problems. But, you know, I thought overall, those guys really, really hung in there and, battled them. We were able to punch out a few runs and threw the ball over 40 times. So they did a good job competing against them. And as I said last night, I thought that the team just made a lot of players made a lot of key plays at critical points in the game, from like the middle of the fourth quarter, driving for the field goal, taking the kick, touchback, stop on defense, get the ball back, driving down there, making another good kick, another good kickoff, getting ball back, stopping them on downs, taking the time off the clock, good punt, putting them a long way from the goal line, no time. There were a number of plays there sequentially that all went about the way that would have been pretty much the best-case scenario for us. It's a good job by the team executing the situation. You need to do that.
Having had a chance to review the tape this morning, any more clarity perhaps on what maybe you thought went right in the second half, at least especially to start your first three offensive drives compared to where you were in the first half?
Yeah, again, I just think, overall Josh did a great job. Tom did a good job. They checked there at the line and, those type of things. But, we had a 50-yard pass on the first drive, so that was a good position. We got a third down stop, got the ball back, and, able to pick up a couple of other chunk plays there to landfill Edelman, get the ball down in the red area. They didn't really cover Vereen down there. On the first drive he was open, got the ball down to the one. Second drive he was uncovered, walked into the end zone. So there's a couple big red area scores that it's good plays on our part, but also plays that looked like they don't have defended the way that they wanted to for whatever reason. We were able to take advantage of some opportunities. Those chunk plays, those 50-yarders, a couple 20-yarders. I mean, you need those plays. The success rate when you have those plays in a drive leading to points is so much higher than having the 4, 5, 6 yard at every play for a lot more plays. That was good, but obviously getting the third down stop, getting the ball back, and being able to go right back at them. Like I said, they I don't know whether they had a chance to get to that play in the red area, but I know defensively sometimes that happens, that you have you give up a touchdown drive and you come over there and then you go right back out, on a three and out or a turnover or something like that, get everything fixed. And sometimes those plays reappear in the next drive and hurt you again. So overall, it's probably a combination of some of those factors.
Bill, you mentioned the offensive line at the outset. First start for Will Spitek, second game of playing the majority of the reps at the right tackle spot. Getting a closer look at him this morning, what you see from him in his first start for you guys?
Well, again, I think, Will really hung in there. That's a good front. He ended up at the tackle position. He and Nate both ended up on the defensive end. Smith and Watt plenty of times, but also on the outside linebackers on Merciless and Reed quite a bit, too, in their sub-defenses and also in the 3-4 when they brought those guys off the edge. So, whichever one of those four guys, either one of the tackles is facing because they were flip-flopping their line in regular situations. Watt on the strong side, Smith on the weak side. It's a lot of matchups against good football players. I thought he did a good job of hanging in there and battle. Obviously, they made a few plays, but too many. Same thing with Nate on the other side. So good job by both those guys. So good competition.
In the second half, you used a lot more of what my partner Scott Zolak termed regular personnel, the fullback, running back, tight end, and two receivers. Curious, what prompted that move, if it was more frequent than we're accustomed to, and what did it allow you to do? How did it complement the work of the offensive line?
I think, you know, as the game went on, we were able to, you know, see how Houston was going to match up to our different personnel groups, and we had several groups that we used yesterday. I think Josh did a good job of mixing the groups, and then say defensively, when you're facing a team that uses a lot of different personnel groups, it's hard to have a lot of things ready for a lot of different groups. It's just hard to have a game plan where you have eight or nine different calls against seven, eight groups. I mean, you just run out of time to practice it, time to work on it. So I think Josh was able to get a good handle on how they were matching our different personnel groups and what they were trying to do against them. And when you get it down to it's two or three things, and Tom can recognize by formations what the what the defenses are, then that can get you into a good player, be able to give them a quick indication of where to go with the ball, so that we didn't have to hold it. We'd get it out there quick and find the receivers that had the best matchups. So again, kind of a combination of all those factors, but the different personnel groups I think ended up being helpful for us in terms of getting good plays or plays that we felt comfortable with matched up against what the Texans feel.
And how about as a follow-up to that, the different running backs that you have and their different skill sets? You talked about it since the preseason, how each guy is unique. For a defense to have to prepare for all those different kinds of backs and what you can do with them, and not necessarily know who's going to be the featured back from game to game, how difficult is that?
I think that, we've seen that from different teams over the past, few years. It's kind of interesting how, again, and Houston is a good example, but, we saw it with Denver. We've seen it with other teams that try to match you on defense. Sometimes it takes a little while to figure out how they're going to match you. And, it's a lot easier when you go to three receivers, one tight end and a back to get that matchup. It's the ones in between where they're, two tight ends or who's the back. And we found in years past and even this year that, sometimes a team would match a sub defense against a certain player. And it could be a back. It could be, Woodhead or Falk or Green. It didn't matter who else was in the game. Sometimes they would match it based on, what combination of tight ends were in there. But when you're shuffling a lot of people in and out, it's hard to, I think defensively, it's hard to, get it all figured out. Sometimes that's why I'm saying it's just predicated on one guy. Like going back, there were times when teams, as soon as they saw Kevin Falk come in the game, they would go sub just in anticipation of whoever the other people were that was more of a passing type of down. And then you hopefully when you see that, you try to put him in there with, a group that you feel like could give you a good running matchup against the team. And, we hit a couple sub runs on Houston yesterday in that situation. So, again, that's a little bit of a chess game sometimes. If a team's trying to match you, then, what's triggering the match? And is it a certain guy? Is it, does it have to be multiple receivers? Is it, will they match multiple tight ends? If a certain tight end is the trigger guy, is it a back, it's sometimes just down and distance. Sometimes you see a team that'll just send their subgroup on there if it's, second and eight. It doesn't matter who you have in the game. And, so that's sometimes figuring that out when you use different personnel groups offensively, takes a little bit. And, Shane's a guy that, depending on how a team feels about their coverage situation, he may or may not dictate a matchup. So, it's something that we're aware of, but, we don't know how everybody's going to treat us until we actually get in the game and you know, and play them. So,
Bill, I think we all understand the consequences that come with fumbling. And if you exempt Tom from the equation here due to the uniqueness of his position, I'm just wondering, how do you determine perhaps when a player sits after fumbling and when he doesn't? And as an example, Julian Edelman's fumbled 5 times this year, and I don't think we've seen him take a seat on the bench. And Stephen Ridley, conversely, has obviously very publicly taken seats on the bench for that. So how does the determination come in situations like that?
Well, that's easy. We always do what we feel is best for the team in every situation. And that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it'll always be as long as I'm here. So I have to do what I feel like is best on any decision, in any situation, what I feel is the overall best decision for the football team. And that's what drives every decision I make on everything. Plays, players, but, you know, you name it. It's, you know, I've got to do what I feel like is best for the team.
So it's never about sending a message, because obviously in Edelman's case, he has fumbled quite a bit.
I'll send to somebody. I'll just sit down and talk to him and tell him what it is. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, my message is, you know, I can have a conversation and do have a conversation with anybody on the team that I need to have a conversation with. That's not a problem. There's no sending a message. You sit down and talk to somebody man to man, talk about the situation, and, you know, so that we're all on the same page as to whatever it happens to be and what the direction is going forward. I mean, that's easy. There's no send a message. You just have a conversation with somebody. So, well, this isn't cryptic. We're just trying to win a football game, that's all.
Did Ridley specifically not play on Sunday because of his fumble issues?
The inactive players every week are based on, in part, injuries, and ultimately what we feel like for that particular game is the best decision for the football team in that game to try to win, along with every other decision on the team that I make, made with what gives our team, in our opinion, best opportunity to win on this. That's what all decisions are based on.
Bill, obviously you guys hit the ground running this morning, but wondered if you did see Antonio Smith's comments following the game from yesterday, and what, if anything, you made of them.
Yeah, I saw them. I don't have any comment on them. That's a league matter.
Bill, just thinking of, you know, this second straight week where you guys have, you know, taken Monday for the players to have off. Just wondering if, you know, in getting to this point of the season, if in any ways, you know, you can turn the page, you know, is part of the motivation to give the players off to be able to turn the page faster to your next opponent, just, you know, realizing the magnitude of each game as we head down to the, you know, last quarter of the season?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of it. Yeah, I think that's a little bit of it. I just think that, you know, we played a lot of football, we've had a lot of meetings, we've had a lot of, you know, we spent a lot of time together, and I think that the corrections from the game are important, and that we will definitely find time during the week to address things that came up in the game. We're not, I mean, there's things, you know, bad things that happen that we need to correct. There's good things that happen that we need to point out and emphasize that this is the way we want to do them, and, you know, this is how we want to handle the situation the next time it comes up. So, you know, we'll continue to do that. It's not like that's going to be ignored. We'll just have to take time that we would do that on Monday and, you know, budget that into, you know, time during the rest of the week. So, you know, at some point during the week, it'll not only be about Cleveland, but it'll also be about, you know, something that happened in the game that, you know, we need to either fix or reinforce as, you know, a positive way of doing it. And, you know, I think the circumstances at the end of the season, you know, vary. But, you know, given the Monday night game in Carolina, the, you know, late Sunday game last week, now the, you know, travel from Houston, that, again, in the best interest of the team, I just felt like that today would be a good day for everybody to, you know, get their rest, get their treatment, you know, continue continue to do their post-game workouts. But, you know, for us as a staff to be ready for the players to come in here, for them to be, you know, mentally ready to absorb all the information that we need to give them today, if we could even get it all, you know, to a good presentation,